This is the OA News via remote. I'm Joe Palca. President Joe Biden will take part in a remembrance of one of the nation's darkest and largely forgotten moments of racial violence, marking the 100th anniversary of a massacre in Tulsa, Oklahoma, that wiped out a thriving black community. Julie Walker reports from Associated Press.
A century ago, when 300 black people living in Tulsa's Greenwood District in an area known as Black Wall Street were killed at the hands of a white mob, their homes and businesses burned down. Biden is the first president to take part in a remembrance. At a vigil last night, Bernadette Hackman told KTUL-TV she came in from Chicago to take part.
It would be something that I can really share with my family and all my great nieces and nephews. And just help them to just understand. You must know your history.
Historians say the massacre began after a black man stepped on a white woman's foot, but the story was blown up to include sexual assault. I'm Julie Walker.
Imprisoned Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny asked a court yesterday to halt the hourly nighttime checks he's been subjected to in his penal colony. Speaking to the court in a video link from prison, Mr. Navalny charged that he has done nothing that would warrant the authorities' decision to designate him as a flight risk that has resulted in these checks. He argued that the hourly nighttime checks effectively amount to torture. Meanwhile, the head of a Russian opposition group that announced its shutdown last week said he was pulled off of an airliner detained by police yesterday. Andrei Pivovarov, the leader of the Open Russia, said his flight was already taxiing for takeoff at St. Petersburg Pulkovo Airport when it was halted and he was removed. Post on his Twitter account later said he had been taken to the investigative committee offices on suspicion of managing an organization that has been determined to be undesirable. This is VOA News. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov said yesterday that Moscow is prepared to answer any questions the U.S. may have, including on human rights, at the scheduled summit between the presidents that is to take place next month. However, the minister said Russia would reject discussions on the basis of the international rule-based order, describing it as a discriminatory framework that holds the West as the arbiter in all spheres, with everyone else expected to comply. The Biden-Putin summit is expected to take place in Vienna on June the 16th. Member nations of the World Health Organization have approved a plan to negotiate the terms of an international pandemic response treaty. Attendees at the closing session of the World Health Assembly in Geneva voted yesterday on resolution to create a special WHO assembly session in November aimed at reaching a treaty or convention that would help nations better prepare and respond to a potential pandemic similar to the COVID-19 outbreak. WHO Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus told attendees the time has come for such a treaty.
We need a generational commitment that outlives budgetary cycles, election cycles, and media cycles. That creates an overarching framework for connecting the political, financial, and technical mechanisms needed for strengthening global health security.
He said it will address the lack of sharing of data, information, technologies, and resources. Israel's defense minister yesterday distanced himself from comments made by his military chief after Israel bombed a Gaza Strip high-rise housing an Associated Press office and other news outlets, saying the remarks were not meant to be taken literally. In an article published over the weekend, the military chief of staff, Lieutenant General Aviv Kohavi, was quoted as saying that the building was destroyed justly and he did not have a gram of regret. The article also said Kohavi had told a foreign source that Associated Press journalists drank coffee each morning in a cafeteria in the building's entrance with Hamas electronics experts, whether they knew it or not. The Associated Press called the comments patently false, noting that there was not even a cafeteria in the building. A man in eastern China has contracted what might be the world's first human case of the H1N3 strain of bird flu, but the risk of large-scale spread is low, according to the government. The 41-year-old man in Jiangsu province, northwest of Shanghai, was hospitalized on April the 28th and is in stable condition, according to the National Health Commission. Via remote, Joe Palca, VOA News.